What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, January 23rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the OK Beast, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr.
What's up, Greg?
This is a nice haircut. That's what's up.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I followed your drama on Twitter for a long time.
Yeah.
And you struggled to find a haircut person.
So we're located on top of a barbershop.
Correct.
And when I was looking for a barber in San Francisco, because, of course, moving to San Francisco, coming from Seattle, right? I had an assigned barber in Seattle.
Yeah.
I had a dude that I went to. I followed him throughout the city because he moved locations. He, like, moved across Seattle
sure.
at a certain point.
That's a good barber right there.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go where you go.
I was like, hey, wherever you go, I'm going.
Yeah.
Raise his prices. I didn't care.
Sure.
You know, and I kept going to him. But now I'm in San Francisco, and I can't fly back to Seattle for Erica.
No.
And so I was on search for a barber.
Yeah.
I put it out on Twitter. I was like, hey, anybody know any barber that cuts hair for under $50 in San Francisco? Couldn't find. Well, I had a few people hit me up, but I was too lazy to really pursue
there you
those
go.
Options.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, the San Francisco way.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna try out the barber downstairs, see how that pans out.
Yeah.
And it was probably the best hair cutting experience I've had in my life.
I hope the Seattle barber isn't watching this.
Yeah, dude. I hope he's not. But like the dude downstairs, he like shampooed my hair.
Yeah.
Like laid me back, like did all that stuff.
You get a beer? Did you get a beer?
No, he was like usually I offer a beer, but it was like 10 a.m. And so he was like,
me before.
It's too early.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Put the warm towel on my face.
Yeah,
that was the thing I didn't know that could happen.
Yeah,
and so it was a really great experience. I think I might go again.
Okay, well, yeah good. This is the same thing I did though.
Mm-hmm.
Let me break it to you. You gotta go again.
Oh no!
I went down there once as well and got my hair cut, and then afterwards I was like, oh crap, this guy sees me every day.
Oh,
I can't not
yeah.
come in. Like
yeah.
now we have this like rapport. We wave, hey Greg, hey Paul. You know what I mean? Like it's happening.
Yeah, and
don't get me wrong, he does a great job. But
he does an awesome job. When I was down there, he was even talking about like, oh yeah, like I see these guys, you know, walk up and down every day. Like I see. He was talking about like the tall white dude that always seems like he's cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're
That's
talking
cool,
about
cool, Greg.
Yeah,
That's
yeah,
cool,
yeah.
Greg. Yeah.
And so he like he knows us.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and so I guess I'm stuck now.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah.
But before we put the bow on this story about our barber, my favorite story from being down there was when he offered me a beer. He's like, do you want an IPA or do you want a lager or whatever? And I was like, I'll have an IPA. And he's like, of course. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you're from upstairs. I see that guy walk by with cases of IPA all the time.
Oh,
like,
wow.
That's cool, Greg.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, enough talking about barbers and beer. We have so much news for you today, including what's next for Hideo Kojima. What's this Kingdom Hearts mobile game all about? And what's happening in Apex Season 4? Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can give us your questions, comments, concerns, your usernames on platforms so people can squad up with you. And of course, where you can get the show ad-free, you can get the exclusive post-show, and you can just have a great time supporting us, getting your name on the wall of the new studio, and all sorts of stuff. Of course, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can go over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Of course, if you wanted something else, you could be watching live, like so many people do on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching on the platforms. I said it. I did it out, or you understand. Or maybe it's your first show. You had no idea, and I just revealed it, you know?
Yeah.
Keep them on their toes, Bus.
Yeah, keep them on their toes.
I'm feeling good today.
Really?
Yeah, you?
Awesome. Here's the thing.
God, here we go.
Me
He's
and
not
Kevin,
feeling good.
Me and Kevin asked me the question, like, how's been the transition
sure.
from working at my job in Seattle to now working down here for Kinda Funny?
Having a normal job.
Having a very normal job.
Yeah.
The thing is, the biggest difference now is my sleep schedule.
Sure.
Because I used to wake up at 5:30 a.m. to go to work in Seattle.
God.
Right? Because I would get to work by
Were you delivering
7.
Papers? What are you
No, and here's the thing. I messed up because I had the choice. I could get to work at like 8, right? I could
yeah.
like wake up at 6 or maybe even 7, but I decided to wake up at 5:30 every day, get to work at 7, then leave work by like 3:30. And then I just had the rest of the day.
Oh wow! Yeah,
and that was a luxury. That felt great to me.
Sure.
Because I preferred being a morning person there. It's different now because here I get to work, depending on if I'm hosting or not, anywhere from like 8 to 9 a.m.
Yeah.
But like I still fall asleep at 9 p.m. 10 p.m. And so like my sleep schedule has just been weird. So I've been feeling weird.
Okay.
But
you'll adjust.
Don't
worry about
a lot of sleep.
Yeah. Exactly. Dude,
I've been getting so much.
We should give you more work. That's
like,
the problem.
The thing that sucks is that I get home and then I play games for like an hour and then I'm just gone and I'm like, I don't have time to just like be me anymore because
I definitely have
so
that problem where I play games and I start drifting.
Yeah.
You know, even last night when we were watching Sex Ed and Jen was like, all right, you want to play games? And I'm like, I really do, but I'm way too tired. Like, I can't.
You're watching season 2?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's good. Yeah, it's more good. The same.
Season 1 is like probably one of my favorite shows.
Oh, you'll love this.
Like, seasons on Netflix.
Yeah, you'll love this. Nice. Anyways, enough about that. Housekeeping for you. Yesterday, we talked about the PSI Love You XOXO sweatshirt being out of stock for most sizes. I have been informed by Joey Noel that it's going to be restocked in the next 3 weeks. We have also 5 community meetups happening in the next few weeks as well. Dallas-Fort Worth has one. Houston has one. New York City has one. DC has one. And Kansas City, possible home to the Super Bowl champions. We'll see soon enough. All community meetups, meaning we won't be there, but they're having community things. You can go to Joey Noel's Twitter, find out about that. Knock on wood. Yeah, and I was going to refresh my email, but I can see it. We might be streaming Kingdom Hearts DLC this afternoon as our stream for the week, first impressions and stuff. We're waiting on code, though, and then also the embargo. So if it isn't today, maybe tomorrow, who knows? Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Manscaped, Riot Games, and Raid, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 8 items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
2020, man. It's never going to stop.
How many of these are delays?
No, I don't think there's any. Well, you know what? I don't want to jump ahead, but I don't think there's any.
Okay.
I put them all down. I forgot about them. What I do want to point out is that if you're watching live on Twitch or you're watching later and they're like, hey, wait a second. Well, I guess actually if you're watching later, and you're like, hey, wait a second. They're not going to lead with Apex Season 4 news. That is breaking live while we're recording this.
Yes.
So we're putting that at the end so we can catch you up on that. So if you came in, I don't know. You're in, you maybe you have, right now either the thumbnail is either Hideo Kojima or it's Apex Legends. If it's Apex Legends, let me tell you, person listening or watching this, you got some Apex Legends news. It's cool. And if it's Hideo Kojima, let me tell you, it was not cool. Season 4 was not cool. But I digress. Let's start with number one. What's next for Hideo Kojima? This is Richard Wakeling over at GameSpot. The latest issue of Japan's Famitsu magazine includes a 30-page feature on Kojima Productions in celebration of the studio's 4th anniversary. Hideo Kojima and Yoji Shinkawa are interviewed as part of the 30-page spread reflecting on their history together and Death Stranding's development. Most intriguingly, however, the pair also expressed their hopes for the future of the studio, discussing what types of projects they would like to work on next. Translated by Dual Shockers, Kojima said that he'd be interested in trying to develop smaller games, like episodic or digital-only titles, while still working on bigger projects more akin to Death Stranding and its time-consuming scope. Kojima has previously worked on smaller games before, of course, but with both PT and Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, two games set in one location during a single night. The studio has plans to work on multiple game projects, encompassing one big game, along with Kojima's hopes of creating smaller titles as well. Beyond this, Kojima Productions is also interested in developing projects outside of video games. Kojima and Shinkawa both mentioned they want to create a manga together, while also floating the idea of an anime featuring Shinkawa's mecha design work. Kojima reiterated that he wishes to make movies, too, including one with Shinkawa's designs. Blessing, can I sign you up for all of this?
Yes, 100%. I think all this sounds super awesome. You know, they mentioned PT and Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, which I think are both... I mean, PT is like probably one of the best horror games to come out within the last 100%. Generation. Yeah. And that was just a demo.
Yeah, right.
You
know? That's just a long, long, long tease for Silent Hills.
Yeah, for Silent Hills. And then Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes was also like a really great thing. I think the only complaint people had about that was the price of it, you know, for it being so short. I think it was like $40 or something like that. I can't remember the exact price.
That sounds right, but remember it was also split between platforms and units or... generations, right? So it was like different prices.
Oh, was it really?
Wasn't? Or am I thinking of Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain as well?
No, you might be right. Because if Phantom Pain was both gens, then Ground Zeroes probably would have been too.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Throw me the IGN article I wrote so fucking long ago.
But like, I think Kojima making smaller games allows his focus to kind of be more focused, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
You know, I think a problem that some people have with Death Stranding, or a lot of people have with Death Stranding, is that the game is so big and is attempting to do so much that it can kind of get lost in the weeds.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of that message didn't feel as focused as Kojima, what goes on in Kojima's head probably should be.
Sure.
And so Kojima working on maybe like a 5-hour game, you know, maybe he can make a tight, nice 5-hour experience.
For me, the most interesting thing out of this, excuse me, still working through this, is the episodic. That, yeah, I think would be super awesome to see him do, right? Of like, all right, cool. Like, we all know Kojima is obsessed with movies and entertainment in that way. So what would it look like if he thought of his game suddenly as, I want to do a 10-hour thing. I want to do a 5-episode thing, and each of them be 2 hours.
Yeah.
And so they would leave you on a cliffhanger and not have the cliffhanger be, you know, 5 years later with the next game or something, if it was going to be that, hey, here we go.
Like, could you imagine Kojima combining his love for film and Kojima combining his skill, like, in game creation, and Netflix hiring him to do, like, a 5-episode series over a year?
And that's the thing of, you know, he's talking about anime in here, and obviously doubling back to him talking about wanting to do a movie, which we've reported on before, and is obvious, I think, in his work. The big question is, when is that is it finally time for that? I think if you played any of the Metal Gears, right? That was always the, oh, man, like, he clearly wants to make movies. But since getting out from underneath Konami, right, and having his own future and then making this game now and, again, working with this A-list Hollywood talent and having them come out and be like, this guy, you know, he's on another level, right? He is a genius when you hear Mads or Norman talk about him. Like, you figure somebody, whether it is Netflix or Hulu or whoever, has to be looking at this and be like, all right, let's get a meeting with him. Yeah. Let's actually see what he wants
now,
to make.
Kojima's, in my opinion, really good at making video games. He obviously very much loves film. He's obviously very good at making cutscenes. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like Kojima would be great at making a movie?
It's a great question. I really think it would depend on the team he's with and then what is the subject material. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the long and short of it is yes, I do think he could. Because it's what we talk about with Death Stranding, where Death Stranding, for as wacky as it is or whatever, it was like, I understood what was going on. I thought, you know, obviously the names and stuff are on the point of, you know, Sam Porter Bridges and all this jazz. But, like, I still enjoyed that story. I still wanted to know what was going on. As I wanted to get to the other side of the country because I really wanted to know what was happening. No spoilers. What was happening on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
And figure out. And when we got there and it all started unraveling, and then when they started telling backstories, it was like, okay, this is interesting. This is cool. Mm-hmm. And Die Hard Man, right, is written so well.
Yeah.
Like, he's fucking awesome.
For me, it's one of those things where Death Stranding, once again, I'm still in chapter 5 or so, but trying for me to visualize Death Stranding is just only the cutscenes, you know, taking out the gameplay, taking out the interaction with it, and just the cutscenes. I don't know if that stuff plays as well. Of course, like, it's a video game, so it's kind of hard to judge it that way.
Exactly.
But, you know, taking out, I think, the stuff about Kojima games that kind of make Kojima games special, which is, for me, the interactivity, the fourth wall breaking, the weird, interesting mechanics that he kind of implements in there, along with, you know, the cool story moments and the great cutscenes, all this stuff. Limiting that down to just the cutscenes or just the movie parts of the games, it's hard for me to believe off rip without actually seeing it in action that he could make an excellent film or that he could make an excellent TV show as somebody who's mainly just done games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would like to see him try. I would like to see what it'd look like.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the, I'd like to give it a shot.
A better, for me personally, because we're talking about Death Stranding, but, you know, from PS I Love You, I'm still playing Peace Walker.
Yeah.
And playing through Peace Walker and watching those cutscenes, I think, and granted, while they're comic, you know, they're comic cutscenes or whatever, they're like comic panels. The story and the acting and the performances and what he's doing there, I think, speaks so much better to this question of what a movie for him would look like. Because it is the idea that, like, without playing Peace Walker, like, without doing the playing parts, I still think those cutscenes deliver an awesome story and give you this great thing and show emotion and characters and explain what's happening in a way that Death Stranding doesn't, because Death Stranding is even more like a thinking man's game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, I feel like playing through Peace Walker, that lends itself so much more to a movie, where I could see that here's the cutscene of talking to Paz, here's how it's all set up, here's, you know, boss in the jungle or whatever, big boss in the jungle, and going through there and, you know, creeping through there, finding the thing, listening for the Quinzel to knock out this other guy in the orange jacket to get the key. Like, that stuff writes itself, let alone the montage of him abducting people, brainwashing them back at base, making them work for him.
Yeah, like, I feel like that era of Kojima, I think, you know, where he's doing, like, the straightforward storytelling, not necessarily being, and of course, like, Peace Walker came after Metal Gear Solid 4, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Like, Metal Gear Solid 4 got kind of convoluted, but, you know, if you look at Peace Walker, you look at
hard to land that plane, man.
How
do we wrap up, like, 20 years of Metal Gear?
When you look at, like, the big boss games minus Phantom Pain, and so Peace Walker and Metal Gear Solid 3, and even if you look at Metal Gear Solid 1, right, those stories are pretty straightforward in a way that I could see those translate into a movie and, like, not get too heady. But I feel like Kojima hasn't been that for a while now. Like, the last few...
But I don't think he lost it. Really? It's like forgot about Dre. You know what I mean? You think he sold all his guns? No, he still has those guns.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. He still has that. He just wanted to get weird and have floating grubs I ate in the middle of the air.
Part of me feels like that's his thing now. Like, part of me feels like that's the type of, like, he wants to make, like, the heady, like, metatextual, like, you know, Death Stranding, Phantom Pain, PT. Like, he wants people to kind of be like, oh, wow, I'm really putting all my brain power into understanding exactly what this piece of art is.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's where he's at now. Not saying that he can't make something.
But he wouldn't want to go back.
Yeah. Like,
that seems like more.
I don't know.
He's an artist that's evolved.
Yeah, you know, and that's not saying that he wouldn't be able to do something like Metal Gear Solid 3 or Metal Gear Solid 1 or Peace Walker again, where it's something that's a little bit more straightforward.
Yeah.
But would he want to? Like, has he gone past that?
Yeah, and that's what's fascinating to think about is what would a movie or an anime or a manga from Kojima look like?
Yeah.
What would it be?
What would you want for an indie Kojima game?
Man.
Well,
I don't
even
know.
Indie, but like a smaller Kojima game, because I guess you can make the...
That's the thing about him, is that for me, he is, and this, I guess, kind of blows to my face nowadays, but Scorsese, right? Where it's like, I didn't love The Irishman, but I like everything else I've ever seen from the man, right? And so it is that thing of like, go make what you want to make, and I want to see it. That's the, you know what I mean? And that was how Death Stranding felt, too, where knowing so little about that game before what it was going to be before years, right? Having a two-hour conversation with the man on a stage and not being able to understand what this game was. Like, to sit down with it and get into it, and it was be like, okay, this is weird and this is different, but and it's, you know, the gameplay is balancing and walking and stuff. I dig this though. And so that's the thing. If you can make me dig hiking, which I hate in real life, don't tell my wife. You know what I mean? Like, okay, cool. What else do you want to do? And what other story do you want to tell? What episodic game do I want to see? I don't know. I would love to know to him what small feels like. Because I think that was an interesting criticism of Death Stranding, right? Where it was, whatever about the gameplay and the story, the environments all kind of look the same.
Yeah.
We're always walking up to this one, you know, cheese-looking building and going down and not actually interacting with other player or characters and seeing other things. It's just a hologram. Like, it is a rinse and repeat of get the mission, finish the mission, get the next mission. Which worked for me for what I wanted out of that game,
But you can understand.
I totally get the criticism of that when you read and watch reviews for it. I'm like, okay. And so, like, to think of what an episodic smaller game to him would look like, I don't know.
Interesting. I think for me, and I don't know if this is what he'd want to do, but something that I'd want for Kojima is a PT-like experience that is five parts, and so it's like five different PTs. You know, because PT, I feel like, was a small contained experience, right?
Yeah.
Meant to be a demo, so that's the main reason why it was so small. But it worked so well. Like, people took to that. People love that. People regard that as, like, again, one of the best horror experiences of this generation, right? And I think Kojima has it in him to make horror games. Yeah. Like, there are horror elements in Death Stranding that I think work superbly well. Like, all of the BT stuff, I think, works super well. You know, and if he can kind of focus that and make, like, a five-part horror series where each part is a two-hour hallway kind of thing. Or, like, part one is a hallway. Part two is, like, I don't know, man, a basketball gym. And, like, part three is, like, a park or whatever. And it's just, like, these different smaller horror experiences that kind of connect together in a way. I think that'd be super cool.
What I would love to see, and I think would make a lot of sense for him signing with whoever to make these games, right? And or whoever he wants to publish. And if you want to make smaller things and you want to do episodic, is I would go do episodic, but actually really lean into, I think, the way Kojima thinks about himself, you know, Hideo Kojima game, right? And have it be like the Hideo Kojima anthology. And
oh,
you get
cool.
Five games, but they're all different games.
Kind of like the Dark Pictures kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. But I don't even think you need to tie it that much. It could be that one's horror and one's a puzzle and one's what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what is he, and like knowing him, he'd unify them all through one theme similar to Strands or Butterflies or whatever. And like there'd be a theme you could see each one of them. But that would be, you know, even if it was the Hideo Kojima anthology colon, like Peace, and there's five different games that somehow have something to do.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be rad, right? Yeah. And I think that's the freedom he's afforded himself, first off being independent, and secondly being, you know, biggest developer in name.
I really like the idea that he wants to do smaller things along with, like, still keeping with a bigger project. Because I'm a fan of Suda51, right, who does a bunch of weird projects, but those projects don't get the magnifying glass the way that Kojima's projects does.
Yeah.
One, because he's Kojima, but also because he is making games with these huge budgets, right? Like Death Stranding being published by PlayStation and you know, Phantom Pain being published by Konami. And Suda51, he makes games like No More Heroes, but he also makes Let It Die, right? And he makes like he makes weird games, but they're all Suda51 games.
Yep. And so you know what you're signing up for, right?
You know what you're signing up for, and also like they don't come under scrutiny the way that I feel like Kojima games can, because they are so big, right? People, so many people are looking at these games and playing these games. If Kojima can do that Suda51 thing of like, hey, I'm making a Kojima game. It's not necessarily going to be the like the biggest budget thing, but it's for people that like my games. And you know, if it's for you, if it's for you, if it's not, you don't even have to think about it because I'm making this for my fans.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that'd be awesome.
Because PlayStation probably will never do it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to figure out a way to do our own dreams game jam. And get Kojima and Tim Schafer and like Lauren Lanning and get all these Neil Druckmann, which PlayStation will not let happen. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Get all these people in a room and have, you know, fuck your game. Set your game back a week. You know what I mean? Let's really fuck up The Last of Us Part Two.
You think PlayStation wouldn't do it?
I think there's way too many logistics to it. Because I think right now, if you were to walk up and be like, hey, Neil Druckmann, we're doing this thing, he would be like, get the fuck out of my office. I'm trying to finish this game. And same if you went to Sucker Punch with Nate Fox, right? It'd be like, no, like, we're trying to ship Ghost of Tsushima. Corey Barlog, of course, always looking. He wants to play hooky every day.
Of course.
I can call Corey right now, come down here and serve me coffee. He's like, I'm on the way. God of War's delayed again. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And like, how can you delay something that's never been? It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying?
That would be some of the best marketing you do for Dreams, though.
Dude.
Even if it's not like the big PlayStation names, even if it is like, okay, let's hit up Toby Fox, who made Undertale. What's his name? Dude who did the Adventure games, now works for Xbox because they got acquired. Tim Schafer.
Oh, I said. Yeah. I already said his
name. Oh, you said Tim Schafer. Yeah. But, like, you know, get developers that are known but aren't necessarily like the people that are, I'm not that Tim Schafer is busy, he's obviously busy, but
no, he's not, I assure you.
Yeah,
he got that Xbox check, kicked up his feet. He'll never get Custom Quest 3, he said.
But yeah, get the developers that aren't necessarily like all ships ahead on your biggest titles.
Yeah,
you know, find some developers, maybe 3 to 5, and just put out like a Dreams game jam. I don't think there could be a better way to market that game.
Kevin, we're gonna have this big studio one day. And when we get it...
Yeah, dude, for sure. It's definitely going
to
happen.
I mean, yeah, we signed the lease. I mean, we have the space. When we get in there, we should figure out how to do this. Do our own. The Kind of Funny Dreams game jam, and we invite game devs over.
Why don't you just plan it now? You know what I mean?
I'm planning it right now.
I mean, like, put together a list and send out the emails, you coward.
Well, the problem... Here's what the thing
put
is.
Put together the list and send out the emails.
But are we doing coward. The... I have a question before I send the email, Kevin. Doing the thing where it's like you have 24 hours to make a game? Are we giving them a weekend? We can't have Tim Schafer locked up in our building for 48 hours.
Oh, I was going to say, how long can we...
I could definitely have him locked up wherever you want, for however long you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. You know people.
Right now, the design we're talking about, like, imagine that second side of the studio.
Yeah.
You know?
Just a cage.
I mean, just honestly, like, some tables, some chairs.
Yeah.
Power outlet.
You know what else I like?
Them, right?
You know what else I like for this idea?
Yeah, oh my god! Like whatever they want too. Okay. And that's the best part.
Because I didn't know if this was like a this is against your will situation.
I mean, at first, but yeah. You know, there's the Stockholm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they like it.
They're wearing the kind of funny merch.
Because
it's like, hey man, we were gonna keep feeding the slop, but we got you those wings you love.
Mm-hmm. Damn! You know? Oh, you got me. I'm in Stockholm syndrome in this situation. What would also be a good way to do it, and I'm just giving out free ideas if you want to steal these and do it, don't, because I'll sue you. What if we did it where we didn't get, we can't get everybody, right? But if we did for like Extra Life 1 year, we're going to go and have, you know, Double Fine or whoever, a local developer and artists and everybody come over, and we're like, we're going to make a game in Dreams by the end of this.
Yeah, that would be a really cool thing to be like an open call to like hit up these studios. So it doesn't have to be necessarily they're the biggest person there.
No, totally.
It could
be
like, hey, send a representative. We've got these giant table setups. It is a 24-hour thing, and it's not even a competition. It's just like...
Oh, no, I think we should all make one game, because the thing of Dreams is like we could have some party sculpting. We could be doing VO. Somebody costume.
I just feel like that requires too much planning that we just don't have.
I think we can do it.
Yeah?
That's why I'm limiting the scope even more, where I'm bringing it down to just we're all doing one game thing, you know?
Okay.
How did we get here?
Because the Dreams is on my mind because it's close to launching and we're talking about what smaller Kojima games. Borzin 00 in You're Wrong points out that I was both right and wrong. Ground Zeroes split both generations. Mm-hmm. I was correct about that, but it came out for $40 on all of them.
Okay.
So there wasn't a split price like I was thinking.
Oh.
Moving on to number two. Kingdom Hearts mobile game is coming this spring. This is Matt Persil over at IGN. Square Enix has announced Project...
Xehanort.
Really?
Yeah.
Xehanort. Come on. A new mobile game set in the Kingdom Hearts universe, which is set for release this spring. The announcement came from a new Twitter account, at Project Xehanort, and describes the same as, and quote, all new Kingdom Hearts experience. A new website details that the currently untitled game will be available on iOS, Android, and Amazon devices and will feature in-app purchases. A tagline asks, quote, why did he become the Seeker of Darkness?
Oh.
Suggesting that Project Xehanort will follow the story of how Kingdom Hearts antagonist Xehanort and his descendants into darkness. Beyond this, little is known about the project. Square Enix is running a competition to guess the final name of the game, though, which will presumably lead to a variety of amusing entries, considering the series features games with titles such as Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue. The competition runs until January 28th, 7 p.m. Pacific time.
Do you know what it means to get Norded?
No.
Oh, man. I don't know if I can explain it because I'm not as big of a Kingdom Hearts fan as a lot of people watching this probably are.
Do we have to call Jonathan Dornbush? Will he explain it?
Even Tim could probably explain it. But I think
Tim's going to be able to
explain it. Because his name is Xehanort, right? And I guess he's the King of Darkness or something like that, the Seeker of Darkness.
Yep, that's it.
Right?
That's
and so, like, what happens is that, you know how there's Sora?
I do know
Sora.
Sora's
the main character.
We talked about her on Gamescast yesterday.
Him
on Gamescast yesterday.
Sora is also. Sora has a nobody. Whose name is Roxas.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
Roxas, if you pay attention, you rearrange the letters of Sora, add an X. That's where Roxas comes from.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so, essentially, this is where I'm going to get wrong.
Sure.
So, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I believe Sora got Norded, and that gave birth to Roxas, who is Sora's nobody, which is just like the evil but not evil version of Sora.
Okay.
It's the version of Sora without a heart, I think.
Yes, that's
the is that right,
yeah,
Kevin?
Yeah, that's
do you
wait,
know
wait, does Kevin know this? He's just agreeing.
So that's all I know. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong is
gonna worry. Nanobiologist, yeah. I think preemptively was like, I'm gonna get you guys on everything over this. Ignacio Rojas is saying getting Norded basically means that Xehanort takes over your body.
Sounds
whatever.
Hot. I'm into it.
First off, we just got our codes for Kingdom Hearts DLC, so that will be a stream today. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Frankfurter wrote in and said, good morning, Greg and Blessing. Square Enix has done it again. They have excited, yet upset so many damn people with Kingdom Hearts. This time, they announced a new project coming out in spring 2020 for mobile. As a fan of the series, the nanobiologist, Borzen, and myself pondered last night what the new game would bring and reminisced about all the old games. But, as I told my girlfriend the news, since she is a fan as well, I got a different response. Quote, why the fuck can't they just keep these games in one place?
Oh my God.
Why did they decide mobile was the avenue to go to? She has a point, and my question for you today is why would Square Enix put critical lore entries in a mobile game rather than keep them on console? What ridiculous name do you think the title will get?
That just seems to be the Kingdom Hearts way, though, because the first game, Kingdom Hearts 1, was on PS2. Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories, which is what comes after Kingdom Hearts 1, was on GBA, Game Boy Advance. And then
let's not forget Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep on PSP.
Yeah. Yeah, that so one. That was on PSP,
yeah,
and then you got...
go read my preview of that one. I don't know the
Kingdom Hearts
happening.
2 was on PS2, and then, yeah, Birth by Sleep, and then there are a whole bunch, but like Dream Drop...
That's revealed that a character is created in a dream, right?
In which one, Birth by Sleep?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know anything about Birth by Sleep.
Oh, you don't?
Okay. No, I've not played Birth by Sleep. I've played a little bit of Chain of Memories, and I played one,
well, that's,
and I played like the first 7 hours of two.
Yeah.
And then you have Dream Drop Distance, which was on 3DS.
Of course. How could we forget that?
You know, and you got like Coded or Recoded, which I think was also a mobile game.
And,
I think that's just like...
And Goofy's a main protagonist.
Goofy's like the sex slave in this whole universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Goofy is one of the main characters in this crazy whole universe, which is one of the weirdest things. But I think it's just one of those things where they don't care. Like, Kingdom Hearts is just such a weird, specific... interesting franchise that they can kind of get away with dropping lore wherever, and that's I feel like that might even be part of the appeal of it. It's kind of like when you enjoy like pain, that kind of thing.
Oh sure, yeah.
I feel like that's what Kingdom Hearts fans are, where it's
they
like
love the pain.
It's like, oh, I'm getting this mobile game, this sucks, but you know, it's kind of cool that I'm gonna get some of the story with it.
I mean, the answer for Frankfurter and Frankfurter's girlfriend is money. Like, you do this to get money, right? Like, they have no allegiance to any console, so why would they stay on one console? Of course you want to put something on mobile, this giant platform that we all have in our pockets, because for as many people who bought the latest Kingdom Hearts on PlayStation 4 or Xbox One or whatever, there are so many more that did not because they haven't played since PlayStation 2 and they don't own a console anymore. When this word finally gets to them that there's a Kingdom Hearts on their phone, they're going to jump in and maybe not even know how much they missed and not understand it, just be excited to be back in that world. Like, you try to get your games and your IP everywhere when you're a big company. It's what we talk about all the time, right? And why they're, you've seen third-party exclusives, you know, over the years really die down, especially considering where they were in PS2, right? Where, like, Grand Theft Auto was a PlayStation franchise, but it wasn't. Now that everybody's trying to make a buck and trying to keep their companies afloat and trying to take care of bottom lines, you have to diversify. And so you can't just play to one market when you have something this big. I mean, think about it again. Like, even though I don't give a shit about Kingdom Hearts, right, I understand that there is an audience of Disney devotees, right, that love this shit, that don't play regular games, don't like care, don't have no idea that Kinda Funny Games Daily is here, given the news each and every weekday. They just love this kind of stuff. So if it is that at Disney they see somebody playing this game on their phone, they want to go do it. Because it's such a different investment of, like, if you haven't at this point been convinced to buy a console for these kind of games, you're not going to do it. You're not going to go out there and spend the $400 you need to get in. But whatever this costs, I already forgot the news story I read. Is it free to play? They didn't say yet, right?
They didn't say.
Like, whatever it's going to be when you get your hands on this. Oh, yeah, in-app. Available on iOS, in-app purchases.
Ah.
That's a way to make money. That's why they do it. They do it to make money. And they know that as much as you and your girlfriend are bitching Frankfurter, you're going to go do it. If you're commiserating on a Wednesday night with three other Kingdom Hearts fans about, oh, my God, and these memories and this thing. Like, of course, it's a $5 thing, $10 thing. You're gonna
and I think,
it.
Like, mobile isn't as much of a – like, everybody, for the most part, that are playing these games are going to have access to mobile. Like,
playing
this game on mobile. You know, in a way that I feel like back in the day, having a PS2 doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a GBA.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I feel like back then it was a lot more weirder than them putting out mobile games. Like, this is definitely like them.
This is better than that, for sure.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. And also, what ridiculous name do I think it's going to get? I think it's going to be Kingdom Hearts Nort by Sleep. That's my guess.
It's not even worth guessing. There's no possible way you'll guess it. You're wrong, of course. This exploded now with Kingdom Hearts dorks out here. So let's get through some of them. Alex Russ says, Sora unlocked his heart and became a heartless. Thus, the nobody Roxas was born. Ray says, Sora didn't get norted. When you die, you turn into a heartless and a nobody. Roxas is Sora's nobody. Right. He almost got norted in Dream Drop Distance, but Mickey stopped it from happening. Ignacio confirms he didn't get norted. Borzen also says getting Norted is that Xenort is available to time travel, places pieces of his heart into people. That is the Norting. He then can take over the people and the other stuff. I can't explain. You're wrong. People are, we know that Sora is not Norted.
Sora did not get Norted.
Borzen Double Zero also points out that Japan loves mobile games and plays a ton of them. Another great point. Again, I kind of touched on it with how big the mobile market is, but that is an excellent point as well. Yeah, right. Matt the Wob says, in Kingdom Hearts 1, Sora used the Keyblade of Heart to release both his heart and Kairi's heart, which made him turn into a heartless for a bit. Sora got his body back because why not? That's how Roxas was made, and I go into too much more info, my brain will hurt. There you go. We got it, kind of. All right. Everybody kind of understands what's happening. Hold on. This was about Kevin.
I just like the term Norted.
What'd he say?
Nanobiologist says, the game Kevin mentioned about a dream was Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance for the 3DS. No. Sora and Riku went into the sleeping worlds, parentheses, worlds who fell to darkness and need to be freed again through their dreams for their Mark of Mastery exam.
Then what was Chain of Memories?
Don't answer that question. Tweet at Blessing what Chain of Memories was. Nobody cares. I mean, I know a lot of people care. But it's not pertinent to what we got wrong today, all right? Number three. Blessing, what features matter most for next gen?
I'm curious.
Your opinion doesn't count. Brendan Sinclair has the article on GamesIndustry.biz. GamesIndustry.biz contributed a series of questions to ISFE and IPSOS Mori's Game Track Consumer Survey regarding the public perception of features for the next generation of consoles, which were given to a representative sample of 8,000 gamers aged 11 to 64 across the UK, Germany, Spain, and France, and Italy. Quote, better graphics are widely agreed to be important in the European markets, with 68% of all surveyed gamers considering important. Among console gamers only, this figure moves up 78%. 278%, I should say. The only other feature to get anywhere close to that level of consensus from participants was, quote, shorter load times when playing digital games, end quote. 63% of all surveyed gamers considered that an important factor, and 71% of console gamers did as well. Despite the emphasis on visuals, quote, 8K resolution graphics weren't considered as important to as many features. 40% of all surveyed gamers considered 8K support important for next-gen consoles. That number ticked up to 49% when looking at just the console gamers. But in both groups, it performed less well than motion controls, backwards compatibility, and the ability to play physical games. Those three features posted similar middle-of-the-pack numbers. Motion controls were important to 49% of all surveyed gamers, and 57% of console gamers. Stop it, console gamers. Backwards compatibility was important to 48% of all the gamers, 59% for console. Physical games was 47% overall, 58% for console. A step behind those three features, and more in the neighborhood of the 8K resolution responses, was the ability to stream games and non-gaming apps. Streaming games was important to 44% of all surveyed gamers, 51% for consoles, and then 41-52% for in-apps or for the non-gaming apps. As for gamers' lowest priority features, virtual reality compatibility and handheld mode available were most commonly deemed less important. VR was important to 37% of the gamers, handheld at 38% to the gamers. While looking specifically at console gamers, VR was important to 43%, handheld ticked up to 45%.
Interesting.
Fuck your 8K. Told you this shit doesn't matter, Tim. Get out of here.
Doesn't matter yet.
Yeah, I know, right? Future-proof.
Yeah, in the future, I feel like it's gonna matter a little bit. But these numbers are interesting, to say the least. Like, a lot of them are kind of catch me off guard a bit.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
motion
like
controls?
Motion controls, yes. The backwards compatibility being important to only 48%. I feel like I always get shocked by how little people kind of care about backwards compatibility, but that just might be a me thing of me really wanting everything to be backwards compatible. Like, I feel like
I think you're not wrong. It's what we've seen before. I think it's shocking when you think about it and listen to our ecosystem, our echo chamber, right?
Yeah.
Where everybody here is like, yeah, it totally matters. It's blah, 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 blah. And everybody, this is gamers, right? 11 to 68 year old gamers, 11 to 64 year old gamers, right? Like, that means a lot of those aren't in this section of gaming. They are very much like, cool, I don't care. Old game's old. I'm not going back. I'm not one day reminiscing about, oh man, Kingdom Hearts 2 and wishing I could toss that in and play it.
Yeah, but even as somebody who might not be within the ecosystem, I feel like even the idea of, oh, I'm going to buy a PS5, it'd be nice if my PS4 games could work on it or came with me.
Sure.
I feel like at the basic level, that should still be pertinent and important to people, but
do you think it would outrank any of these, right? Because that's how this has got to work, right? Like, rank what's in order of importance.
Oh, is that how it's ranking importance? Okay, then I don't think
it was like, and I could be wrong. I don't have the survey in front of me, right? But that would be the way to actually judge how this is and how you go.
Yeah.
Or if, I guess it could be a yes or no. Is this important to you? Is it not important to you?
Yeah. Better graphics.
Of course.
I feel like that one is obvious, but also at the same time, I feel like when you look at the current consoles, I feel like it's hard to even make that discrepancy now, like between Xbox and PlayStation. So I'm shocked that people would rank that so highly.
But I think it's the thing of, again, like, not looking at, you know, Hellblade 2 or something, right, and seeing how amazing that looks, just thinking like, all right, yeah, better graphics, click. That's what for years you've known the new box means.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that as time has gone on, right, even PS3 to PS4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, obviously there's a jump there. I'm not saying there wasn't, but it wasn't like it was when it was SNES to N64.
Of course.
And you're like, holy shit, what the fuck am I looking at?
Are any of these statistics shocking to you in particular?
Shocking is not the right word. I think the fact that motion controls had even got mentioned in here the way it did, I was like, what? You know what I mean? I like the shorter load times. I think that is something I thought was more important to nerds like us instead of being a general populace kind of thing or a more wide variety populace. I think that's actually going to benefit when, you know, Cerny was doing all these interviews with Wired and showing Spider-Man swinging through the world. I was like, that's really cool to us, but how do you make that important to people? It's important to people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll see how that actually goes and how you hang your hat on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks to see VR so low, but it's expected, right, Kev? PlayStation VR, never forget.
It's a heartbreak. It's a heartbreak.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. It'll grow.
What will?
I don't know.
I mean, once Half-Life Alex is out.
Yeah,
once
Half-Life Alex is out, it'll grow. And then also, I think we'll continue to get like great PSVR games.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah, Iron Man, and I think like once
we get another
Beat Saber?
No, just another PSVR, like...
Like PSVR 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, we'll get a few, like a couple years into PlayStation 5, I imagine. And once that hits, I think we'll start to see, like, more bigger and better games. And I would imagine more people flock to it.
Taking off in that way.
It would have to be more accessible. Like, the price would have to be, like, undeniable. Like, it would have to be, like, you know, 200, probably.
And have a killer app.
And have a killer app.
And have a reason, like, you're like, holy shit, you need this for this.
Yeah.
We'll see. Speaking of next-gen graphics, though, number four. Holy fuck, that Ninja Theory Mara stuff yesterday was in-game footage. Kevin, can you pull this up?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
The Mara stuff?
Well, yeah, but, like, me and Gary were on here, not arguing, but I was like, I think, like, they're talking about it's a new storytelling method. Mm-hmm. It's a new thing here, and they were showing, like, that hallway.
Yeah, the hallway and the stairs.
And I was like, all right, clearly that's real-world footage. And then when they jumped to her with the thing next to her, I was like, that's in-game, right? Like, there's some mashup going on. But then over on Reddit today, they were showing off the power of ray tracing. So if you're an audio listener, the top thing is Ninja Theory on some stairs and a photo. And you're like, okay, cool. And then below it is the same environment updated, changed into this thing where they're using ray tracing. So yesterday, me and Gary were going back, not 100% sure what was real and what wasn't real. And now you can see, according to this, right? Like, nope, that's ray tracing at work.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, I think ray tracing might catch us off guard more than we expect for consoles. Because I know, like, there's quite a few PC people that are already, like, seeing that stuff at work. Like, have you seen the screenshots people post of, like, Control, like, ray traced,
you know,
video game photography pictures? Like, that stuff looks incredible and realistic in a way where I'm like, this is kind of eerie. Like, I can't believe video games have gotten to this level looking this good. And so I think once that stuff starts getting normalized more and we start seeing it more and more in effect, I think our people will kind of be blown away.
Yeah, the stuff that's going to be built for the next generation, and I mean built for it, right? Like, that's the interesting thing where Xbox talks about, well, you know, everything's going to be, at least for a year, be able to play it on both systems. Mm-hmm. PlayStation coming out and drawing that line, you wonder how much they'll lean on. This is what the PlayStation 5 looks like. This is what these games play like. This is, you know, the world you're in. We'll see.
We'll see.
Will everything just get updates? Who knows? Number five. Housemarque is celebrating 25 years and teasing their next game. They put up a blog post. Of course, Housemarque, you should know, developers of Super Stardust HD, Resogun, Next Machina, and they're working on Storm Divers, a game that we put out beta access through one of the showcases. This is their first post in a year, their last one being about, hey, Storm Divers beta is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out Storm Divers is completely on hold because they're talking about their AAA game again that they had teased in a 2018 post. Anyways, let's pull some paragraphs from it and read. We are working on our biggest and most ambitious title and have amazing support from our yet-to-be-announced partner. Our team of almost 80 people is comprised of talented, smart, and hardworking individuals from all around the world, and it has been invigorating and inspiring to see how this game concept has turned into reality as more and more ideas have formed the basis of a truly incredible product. Despite not knowing if we would even get past the initial stages of pre-production, we now have spent almost 3 years working on this game, and now we are in full-scale production and super excited to reveal more in the coming months. So now we are focused on delivering our most ambitious and biggest game to date, putting every other project on hold, including development of Storm Divers. So the last game we knew they were working on, this little battle royale that they debuted, has now completely been paused without ever being released to move over to this big game. It is great that the whole company can come together to deliver this game, which will define the next evolution of Housemarque. We are very humbled to have amazing support from our partner over the course of the past few years, and this support has continuously grown on a monthly basis. In closing, Housemarque is very excited to celebrate our 25th anniversary this summer, and we are confident that we will pleasantly surprise our fans with the new game. We are eagerly awaiting the day we can announce it. At the same time, it is always nerve-wracking to anticipate what your reaction will be when we finally do complete development and the game is out for everyone to enjoy. We've never delivered anything at this scale before. The time is drawing ever closer when our publishing partner will reveal what we are working on, with the launch coming after that. This year will be full of exciting surprises, and we can't wait to experience them with all of you.
So their publishing partner is obviously Sony, right?
That's exactly where we're going.
And this is
going
to be a PS5.
This is going to be a PS5 reveal because, thing, like, right? Housemarque's logo's up there and then whatever this game is.
Yeah, because for them to abandon Storm Divers when that game was as far as along as it was, like, I was looking at gameplay earlier today when you first shared the story in the doc, and I was like, yo, this game is, Storm Divers is far along. Like, there's, like, UI here, like, they're showing gameplay.
Yep.
The beta was, you know, going to go live. And for them to just totally scrap that and end development on it and essentially put all steams ahead on this AAA project.
Yeah.
means that I think Sony.
It means there's a lot of money behind that, right? And it means that they are super excited for it. And so, yeah, I mean, like we say, Sony, it'd be not out of the realm possibility that it is Xbox.
Yeah, it could be Xbox,
right? That it is somebody who is going to make a big wave, because like, Housemarque, of course, is, if you're an old Beyond fan, is a studio we've talked about forever because they're so talented. They make so much great shit, and then they, on top of that, making all these great games, they made news, what, in 2018, right? When they were like, arcade is dead. Like, we're done making arcade games. They don't sell. We've tried. It isn't happening. We're moving on to do other stuff. So we're doing a Battle Royale, which was Stormdivers, and we're doing a AAA unannounced thing. They were talking about even back then. Is this the same thing? Who knows? But they were talking about working on a AAA game then.
Yeah.
And they had a team of 70 working on it. Now they, it seems they taking the entire Stormdivers team and putting them onto this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious where this is going. Like, especially if you look at their gamography, right? Starting in 2007, right? You have Super Stardust HD, published by Sony. Then you have Golf Tee It Up, published by Activision. And then the next couple of games are Sony. And then they have Outland, published by Ubisoft. Right? Then they self-published Furman's on iOS. And then it's Sony for Super Stardust Delta, Activision for Angry Birds, and then Resogun, Sony. Alienation, Sony. Super Stardust Ultra VR, Sony. Next Machina, self-published. Matterfall, Sony, and then Stormdivers canceled. Or not canceled, but put on a shelf.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty obvious. I think it's pretty obvious that this is going to be Sony and this is going to be a PS5. Maybe launch or launch window.
I think so. I mean, that's how they found, it was Resogun, right?
Yeah. Resogun was a launch. That was super successful then.
And it was that thing of, like, that their talent, they're good. The only interesting wrinkle to it is the fact that it's not going to be an arcade, right? You think of when I think of a launch game from Housemarque, I think of something small, digestible, that's going to get a great launch from it, you know, a great boost from it.
Yeah.
So to be here now and have a AAA game. Now, granted, you've been working on it for 2 years, I mean, at least, right? Like, it's been going on a while. It'll be interesting to see what it is, how far along is it, and is it 100% going to make launch?
Yeah, and part of me is, like, kind of happy that they're able to kind of put all their focus into this game, as opposed to, like, Stormdivers looked cool, but if you go back to their post in 2017 where they're talking about Arcade is Dead, that was like the title of it, and their whole reasoning was essentially that, hey, like, these games that we're making, they're critically well received, but they're not selling. And like, they're very blatant in this post, and then they're like, what is selling are these, you know, these multiplayer shared world shooters or battle royale shooters, right? And this seems like, it almost seems like a cry for, like, hey, if somebody wants to fund us to make something more along the lines of what we would like to make, that'd be awesome. But if that's not going to happen, we're just going to not, I don't want to use the word sell out, because I don't think that's what that, I think it's more so like them being like, we're going to make, do what makes us money.
And so you have to think about your company and your business, right?
When you have like 77 people working at the studio, you got to take care of them. And so I think for their publishing partner, who's probably Sony, coming up to them and being like, hey, you know, we want to fund you in order to publish a game under us, I think that's probably a blessing for them, and they're probably pretty hyped about that. You know, it's probably going to be a game more along the lines of what they want to make. Probably not arcade, because they're describing it here as AAA, but even still, I'm excited for whatever they put out.
And that's all. And it's always that thing of, you know, AAA means something different to everybody. Mm-hmm. And so for them, an 80-person team working on a AAA game, what does that mean? You know what I mean? And what does that look like? And what is the idea that's got them so excited to bring everybody off of it? You assume PlayStation, but maybe Xbox or whoever their partner is, to come in and pour money on this and keep them going, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also that question of celebrating 25 years, all these different things. I do wonder, like, you think they'll get purchased? You know what I mean? Are they going to become a first party for Xbox or PlayStation?
I think that'd be awesome for PlayStation, but I still don't think Housemarque wants to be purchased.
Sure.
Like, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting from reading their posts, is that they enjoy their independence, and they've enjoyed being an independent Finnish studio for the last 25 years, that I couldn't see them wanting to. But I mean, for Sony, I think it'd be a great get, especially if this AAA game pans out to be pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to read through this post, maybe because I read a couple of the different ones, but there was one in there where they were talking about, you know, when we announced Arcade is Dead, so many people thought that was going to be the end of us, and it's not. We're thriving. We're working on this AAA thing with a partner. Mm-hmm. It's similar to what you're saying, though, I feel like, where, yeah, they want to be independent. They like being independent, but at what point does being independent and having to pay the bills not equate to making what you actually want to make.
Like, at what point is it not worth it to be independent anymore when you can provide security for your studio and for the people that work there?
And, like, that was the thing about Storm Divers, right? Where, and granted, early stuff, it's all on beta, but you watch it and you're like, oh, man, this game's far along, but it also doesn't look inspired.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Rezogun or Super Stardust or anything. You walk there and you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
And that's the thing, like, watching Storm Divers, like, them shelving it, obviously, I think means a lot for the game they are working on. But also, like, looking at gameplay, I'm like, man, this looks like it's going to be good. But fine. At the same time, like, it doesn't. It's like seeing, like, an indie band you love, like, go pop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of that thing, too.
Like, and I'm not saying, because I know I'll eat my words in probably 2 months or whatever when it changes. But, like, we're so much further than we were in the battle royale genre than when they announced this.
Yeah.
Where it is, for like, sure. It seemed like everybody can compete and do these different things, and really they can't, right? Like, when was the last Battle Royale? Well, I guess you're playing Darwin Project, which is kind of...
Yeah, but that's it's also, like, a niche thing. Like, Darwin Project, I don't think is going to set the world on fire.
Sure.
But, you know, I think for what it is, and that's, like, it's a 10-person Battle Royale, I feel like it's more... It almost feels like more of an arena multiplayer game than a Battle Royale, even though it has those Battle Royale hooks in it and survival game hooks in it.
It's going to be interesting. But yeah, as you get ready for your own predictions, and I'm sure we do as well for what will happen at these whenever these conferences and whatever press conferences are, keep Housemarque in your back pocket till you need them. Number 6 on the Roper Report, Neo 2 has a post-launch DLC plan. This is Tom Lee over on the PlayStation blog. We have 3 major DLC releases planned, with each focusing on a different storyline that predates the events of Neo 2, promising hours of additional gameplay that will provide plenty of challenge for those thirsting for more. Similar to the original Neo, players can expect new weapons, new combat abilities, and new characters, with each DLC incorporating both multiple main and sub-missions. The 3 DLC packs are included in Neo 2's Season Pass, which forms part of the game's deluxe edition, available for pre-order, of course. In addition to the main game DLC, you'll also get premium in-game items like the Demon Horde armor set, some charm. Players can purchase all that stuff now. That was... You don't care about Neo 2.
No.
Yeah. I played Neo 1, I'm just like, I totally get it. Not my kind of game.
I got respect for it.
Yeah, totally, exactly.
Know, it's just like, I've never been able to get into a Souls game. Or Souls... Like a Souls-like game.
Yeah. It's too action-y for me. That's my thing. I just don't like actions like that. Number 7 on the Roper Report. Congrats to Joey Noel. Stardew Valley has hit a sales milestone. I'm reading from Dual Shockers, who didn't give the author a byline. Stardew Valley, the game where you keep your animals happy, harvest crops, partake in digital community events, and become friends with everyone, has hit a new milestone. According to the game's press page, Stardew Valley has now sold over 10 million copies worldwide. While there's been no official word from developer Concerned Ape, scouring back through the Wayback Machine, saw the page state that the game had sold 6 million copies worldwide back in August 2019. The press page now subtly states that the game has hit the new milestone. The pixel art farming simulator was initially a single-player experience and saw PC versions getting multiplayer support in 2018. This new feature allows up to 4 players to join one farm and work together to build and manage a farm. While the game now supports multiplayer on all platforms, there's still no sign of crossplay. Again,
congratulations.
It's rare that we have just Roper Reports that are just statements.
Yeah.
Good job, Stardew Valley. It's another game that, like, Jen adores and plays all the time. It just never clicked for me, and I thought it would because I liked Animal Crossing so much, but this was just a bit too much for me.
I feel that.
And then finally, number 8 on the Roper Report, Apex Season 4 news has hit today. The tweet went out this morning. Cheers to 1 year. Congratulations on the anniversary. Yesterday, whatever. They were doing a stream today where the dev stream would celebrate the 1 year and get your first look at Season 4.
It's not been a year yet, though. We got like 3 weeks left.
They're celebrating the year, bless. Let them celebrate.
When it's time to celebrate.
Man. Maybe they're trying to avoid something.
It's been 11 months.
Maybe they're trying to avoid something in 3 weeks.
Wait, you're talking about Dreams?
I was thinking maybe a PlayStation 5 event. Oh, maybe. I mean, I still don't think it's happening that quick, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
Maybe you got to get your news out while you can.
I was like, do they care about Dreams over at Apex Legends?
Everybody get the fuck out of Dreams way. They're coming, man. What news broke? You been looking at this? You got me a report? IGN do anything?
I got to search a little bit because I've been on their Twitter, but they've not really tweeted anything. You about it.
Coward.
Yeah, let me check my notifications because people are probably tagging me and things.
They better. Otherwise, then this, you know, it was what I was saying. It's just a flat announcement.
Why are people tagging me and all the boys I loved before?
Probably something Joey did. Joey does this all the time.
The worst.
Oh, well, this is breaking news from IGN. Hold on a second. Not about Apex Legends.
No.
Well, you keep looking to see if anything happened. Breaking news. IGN's Jonathan Dornbush reports, no, SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated doesn't have a release date yet.
Oh, no.
We talked about this earlier this week. Despite a release date infographic suggesting the remake did have a May release date, THQ Nordic has confirmed to IGN that SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated does not yet have an officially announced release date. Somebody put Barrett on suicide watch, please. All right? I know how much that meant to him. He wanted to play it on a Sunday like a weirdo. There you go. Nothing for me on this season 4 stuff?
So they revealed a new legend. Okay. So season 4 is going to be called Assimilation. It's happening February 4th. I'm trying to find the name of this new legend. He's like a buff dude with a cyborg arm that looks pretty awesome.
I hope he's called Nick. Here's what I'm going to do for you.
Yeah.
You keep researching it. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you about our sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to be part of the show, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let's talk about those sponsors. Today, we're brought to you by Manscaped. Support for Kind of Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision tools for your family jewels. It's 2020, and you know what that means. New year, new me, new balls. Men, listen up. Hairy bushes are so 2019. If you're going to pick any New Year's resolution this year, let it be to take care of your junk. Manscaped is making it easy with their grooming products. Myself and Tim use Manscaped, and 2 out of 2 ladies surveyed like that. That's why Manscaped has redesigned their electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. And don't use the same trimmer on your face that you use in your balls. That's dirty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting it on the most smelly part of your body? Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Start the new year off right by using the best tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code GAMES. Up next, it's the LCS. New year, new you, right? Well, it's also a time of change at the LCS, North America's official League of Legends professional league. The 2020 season kicks off Saturday, January 25th at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on watch.lolesports.com. And there's never been a better time to become an LCS fan. You may be wondering, if I've never watched, will I have any idea what's going on? Don't worry, LCS hosts and casters will make sure you can follow all the action. This will be an exciting start as the latest game update, Rise of the Elements, introduces permanent map and buff changes for the players to deal with. Plus, there's truly a team for anyone to root for. Maybe you want to see a classic like TSM rise again, join Team Liquid to see if they can secure yet another championship title, or lean into your darkest desires with the one and only new team, one of the newest teams, Evil Geniuses. So are you ready for some league? Good, because there's never been more time or a better place to join, and they have Monday Night League joining the schedule. Catch the game Saturdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, Sundays at noon Pacific, and Monday Night League at 5:30 p.m. Pacific on watch.lolesports.com, Twitch or YouTube. That's watch.lolesports.com, twitch.tv/LCS, or youtube.com/lolesports. For Saturday, Sunday, and Monday Night League action. Thanks, LCS. And finally, it's Raid. Raid Shadow Legends is a mobile RPG done right. Not every RPG game has to be cartoony and cutesy. Enough with candy, rainbows, unicorns, and bright colors. Get real, raw, dark, epic, and awesome. Raid Shadow Legends will take you to the world of dark fantasy and realism. And now, you can play Raid both on mobile and your desktop. The game is cross-device, so you can play with the same user and switch between the devices whenever you want and however you want. Raid has all the features you'd expect from a brand new RPG title, like an amazing storyline, awesome 3D graphics, giant boss fights, PvP battles, and hundreds of champions to collect and customize. You won't expect this kind of performance out of a mobile game. And in Raid, you have the ability to personally customize and choose the artifacts and design a unique mastery build for each one of the champions. And the best part is it's free to play. The invitation to download the game has been accepted by more than 15 million players worldwide. And the best part is, like I said, it's free to play. So go click on the link in the description box and start playing. Clicking on this will not only let you enjoy one of the best mobile games in the moment, but you'll be supporting this podcast. What are you waiting for? Download Raid via the link patreon.me/kindoffunnygamesraid, which we'll also find below in the description. You get a package with 10,000 silver, 2 clan boss keys, 10 mystery shards, and the amazing champion adjudicator. This package will only be available for the next 30 days.
So I'm pulling this from Newsweek.
Never heard of
it. Yeah. They have like a subtitle here called News Geek, which is interesting. They write Apex Legends Season 4 Assimilation Revealed, Forge Sentinel, and Release Date. So this is from Christopher Grew. He writes, Apex Legends Season 4 Assimilation has officially been revealed, and it begins February 4th across all platforms. Its highlight features include a legend named Forge, the Sentinel Sniper, and more. And so he goes into Forge and his ability. So he writes, as a legend, Forge is much more of a melee brawler when compared to Season 3's distance-focused Crypto. He's a five-time Hyper Federation fighting champion sponsored by Hammond Robotics. His abilities then favor power and being up close. Here's a quick recap of the abilities that have leaked so far. Oh, wait, these are leaks? Interesting. This is all interesting. Hold on.
This was posted 3 weeks ago.
This is posted today at 2 p.m. Eastern, so I don't know why they're calling it a leak. He has Pull Shot, which is a short-range grapple that pulls enemies into you or can be used to launch yourself into the air. As a ground slam, which press crouch while airborne to slam into the ground. KO Punch, which is jump forward in a direction, press crouch while airborne to slam into the... Wait. All right, well, they got typos in this article. He has a 1-2 ability that is a bull rush in a straight line. If you hit an enemy along the way, press again to do an uppercut launching you into the air. And he has a couple more abilities there. The Sentinel Sniper... The new Season 4 weapon is a bolt-action sniper rifle, and like other snipers, this one has a charge mechanic that favors risk-reward scenarios for shot timing. And then they add changes to the ranked system. And so ranked play gets overhauled in Season 4 as well. Here's what we know. Master tier, this new tier is the new Apex Predator tier awarded beyond 10,000 RP. Apex Predator, limited to the top 500 players per platform. You can be bounced out of Predator as other players get more RP than you. And then ranked splits. This time there will be 2 splits in the battle pass instead of 1. Your rank will reset between splits, and each split will be played on a different map. So King's Canyon is coming back, but it may be relegated to ranked play only. And then rewards depend on the highest rank you get in either split. If you have the same rank in both splits, you'll get a special animated rank badge. And so that seems...
That's what does all. This do for you as Mr. Apex Legends?
Forge seems cool. That's about it. Like, the rank stuff isn't really doing anything crazy for me because I'm not huge in rank. I think the Sentinel Sniper seems cool. Like, a new weapon is always welcome.
Sure.
I never favored snipers, aside from the triple take, which I like, but we'll see about the Sentinel Sniper. It seems like a high-risk, high-reward weapon, and so... We'll see. I'll play around with it and see how I feel. But yeah, a melee character or a melee focused character, a character that's more up close focused, I can dig. He seems a lot like Doomfist from Overwatch. He seems all right.
All right. Well,
yeah. The dev stream is like 22 minutes. It's on YouTube. And so if you want more details or more clearer picture of what's going on, I'd say check out that dev stream.
I can't wait to watch that dev stream. Blessing. But yeah. I can't watch it while I host the show. That's so far away. If exactly. I need something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Tetris. Tetris has come to the Apple Store and Google Play Store for free. This is news because this is the network Tetris, right? While this this is new today, this news, and it's out, you can get it right now. I got it. I haven't opened it yet. It's worth noting that this means that EA has now announced they are ending their Tetris and Tetris Blitz and taking those off the store and off of that and not supporting them anymore. And people are pissed because people bought those games and now they're gone. But apparently, as it was mentioned earlier a while ago, this looks like, EA's contract has run out with their license, and so the Tetris they had is gone. Now it's just this network Tetris. So get out there and enjoy that. However, you also get Sega Ages Shinobi on Switch, Kingdom Hearts 3 Remind DLC on PlayStation 4, Earth Knight on PlayStation 4. Blessing's got to play that.
Yeah.
Mosaic on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Oh, come on, man. Yuta Wurumurumo, Mask of Truth, PC. Uda Warumonodo, Mask of Deception, PC.
Utawa Rurumono.
Don't try to show me up. Don't try to show me up.
That's the best I can do.
Oddworld Stranger's Wrath on Switch. Rugby 20 on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Sega Ages Fantasy Zone on Switch. Warhammer 40K Space Wolf on Switch. Dream Ball on Xbox One. The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners on PC. It's a VR game. Sleep Attack on Switch. Sinless on Switch. 19-8X on Switch. Escape from Chernobyl on Switch. Dual Brain Volume 2 Reflex on Switch. Poop. Paypo Space Deluxe on Switch. Jewel Wars on Switch. Assemblance on Switch. Omo Tomo on Switch. Speedrunners on Switch. Classic Snake Adventures on Switch. Grimm 1865 on PC. Emily Archer and the Curse of Tutankhamun on PC. Bless you. Tanny Nanny on PC. The Yellow King on PC. Overcooked 2 gets a free update again. This time it's Spring Festival. And then GTA Online has a bunch of new additions, like a new vehicle, double rewards and overtime, Rumble, discounts across properties, and so much more. New dates for you. Rune Factory 4 Special will launch February 25th, 2020 on the Nintendo Switch here in North America. Knights and Bikes is launching on the Nintendo Switch on February 6th and is fantastic. You should play it. And then xCloud will launch in Canada on January
29th.
Hey.
That 198X game looks pretty cool.
What's it all about?
It's like a 2D... so that's the game that's coming to Switch. It's like a 2D pixel art game, indie game, but essentially there's like a bunch of different almost mini game type things. Like there's like a RPG kind of thing you can do in there. There's double dragon kind of thing.
Ah, okay.
going on there. There's like a car racing thing going on there. Like I think it's worth checking out the trailer if people out there want to look for it.
Yeah. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames looking to play games with the best friends. Today it's Gabriel W. who needs help on PlayStation 4. The PSN name is DragonKing99. Gabriel writes, "Hey KFGD hosts, I need help with Killing Floor 2. I'm trying to get the platinum in KF2 and need help for a few multiplayer achievements if there are any experienced players out there. I need to win a match on Nightmare and win as the survivors in Versus. I'm level 23 support. I'm free most nights, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thanks for the good work. Keep it up. P.S. Blessing is doing a great job. Glad he joined the team."
Thank you.
If you want to play Killing Floor 2 with DragonKing99, hit him up. PlayStation 4. His name is Gabriel. Breaking news from You're Wrong. Well, You're Wrong, if you keep us honest, you know, yeah. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
What is Chain of Memories?
Yeah, no, I deleted all the Kingdom Hearts. I said we're done with Kingdom Hearts shit. Text Blessing, everybody. Make videos with your phone and send them to Blessing explaining Chain of Memories. Arkwing says, breaking news, Rocket League is ending support for Mac and Linux in March. So there's something for you.
I mean...
Yeah, really?
Like, I never played on Mac. But
maybe they'll get
somebody
hacked.
Somebody did.
Maybe Rocket League servers are going down for a month and a half now because Lizard Squad's pissed they're with Linux. Never fuck with Linux, I say. Blessing, that's the show. But it's not. Because, of course, there's a post show over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where we're going to get into a big old question we have here that involves Khalif, our friend from Spawn.
Hey, the homie.
Tomorrow it's going to be you and Tim.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes, the dream team.
Exactly. Wait, what? What do I mean?
Oh, I mean, hey, we're the Dreams team because of...
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, nerdy video game news each and every day. You should subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services, go to roosterteeth.com, all over the place. Most importantly, though, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Send in your questions, your PSN names, your everything else under the video game sun. Let us be a part of the show. Let us be a part of your life. You know how it works. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a post show to do. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Fuck my cup up.